Sunday Meditation, May 20th, 2007. The question of the day for Quo is from Gary Dean, and it is, Though I go about every day as if I am seeking the Creator, I'm seeking something that is entirely a concept in my mind, something for which I have no reference, something which I have never consciously seen and never truly experienced as an incarnate being. How does one seek that which is so invisible and completely unknown to the conscious self?
We are those of the principle known to you as Nkuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator, in whose service we come to you this day. We thank this circle of seeking for inviting us to join their search for the truth. It is our privilege and our pleasure to share our humble thoughts with you. As always, my friends, I would ask that each of you take full responsibility for choosing the material you wish to consider out of those things that we have to say. By that we mean that if our thoughts do not seem resonant to you, we would ask you to leave them behind. If you will guard the gates of your own perception in this way, we will feel much more free to share our thoughts without being concerned that you might take our thoughts to be those of an authority and not those of entities who, like you, walk the circle of seeking through infinity back to the source whence all of us came, the one infinite Creator. My brother, in asking about how to find the Creator when the Creator has no part in intellectual discussion, you pierce through the thin veneer of civilization and culture to the heart of spiritual seeking. The one known as Rumi was speaking earlier of skating across the pond of life, staying on the surface of things, and perhaps avoiding the discomfort of the depths of insight. Even on the surface of life, even in the most limited of awareness, there lies the one infinite Creator. Yet we will readily agree that in order to begin to penetrate the surface layers of illusion that surround the mystery of the one infinite Creator, it is well to think in terms of moving deeper into that mystery which lies within you. When you say that there is no objective referent for the one infinite Creator, we understand your thought, we believe. For indeed, the Creator is not an entity that can be invited to parties or dressed in a paper hat He cannot blow a whistle on New Year's Eve to celebrate the passage of time. The infinite creator is intelligent infinity, that which by definition cannot be thought. There is no conception in the human mind that can compass infinity and eternity. The human mind is designed to work in space and in time, moving linearly in space and time, step by step along the path of seeking. Yet there is much more to the third density incarnate human being that you are than your mind. Indeed, you have two minds. You have the mind with which your body was born, and the mind which is consciousness. This is a key point when working with the idea of seeking the Creator, because one needs both minds. One does not need to discard the intellect, but rather to understand its place. And to understand that each of you as seekers are not your intellect, but rather are the charioteers that decide where the steeds of your intellect shall go and how fast you shall take the road. The intellect is a helpful resource for the spiritual seeker. It has those powers to analyze and synthesize and make new combinations and new patterns. This investigative and analytical capacity is very helpful in developing your arsenal of discernment and wideness of thought. With the intellect, you can read as widely as you wish until you are familiar with what a number of other people have said about spiritual seeking. This constitutes a ready and helpful source of inspiration. And we would not denigrate or shortchange the value of your intellectual mind. We only ask that you realize that you need to be in the driver's seat, and you often need to hold your intellect under very tight rein, for it will tend to plunge around corners of new thoughts and directly into the ditch, fueled by old mind, old memory, and old assumptions. The intellect is resistant to change. And when one becomes a spiritual seeker, one has chosen to accelerate the pace of change and transformation within the life experience. So, although the intellect can move the spiritual seeker into a situation of becoming more aware of who he is and why he is here, it is generally not the intellect or the capacities of the intellect that are able to keep the seeker on balance and on track. as the tides and waves of change and transformation sweep over the seeker who is opening like a flower. Consciousness is the other mind which you have as a mind-body-spirit complex, as the one known as Ra called it, on this earth. Unlike the mind, which is particularly and solely your own, you share the faculty of consciousness with all beings. We are not simply saying that you share consciousness with all other human beings. We are saying that you share consciousness with every iota within the infinite creation of the one creator. This is the second key. The nature of consciousness is not particular to you. Rather, because of your innate nature as a part of the Godhead principle, your heart beats with the pulse of the one infinite creator. That which created all that there is a certain vibration of consciousness that, for lack of a better term, we have called unconditional love, or logos. That one great original thought, or logos, has created the starry heavens, the vast spaces within each molecule of your body, and you, a unique point of interception that catches two worlds, that of the everyday waking consciousness of your people skating across the pond of life, and that of the one infinite creator whose thought is a thought of unconditional love. There is indeed no objective referent to the infinite creator in terms of your science. There is no way to prove the existence of a ground of being. Certainly scientists and church fathers alike declare the obviousness of the Creator's existence. Scientists move from an observation of the way nature works. And find, if they are open to deeper contemplation of the vast, intelligent design of the creation, that there is indeed an author of such meticulous clockwork, such brilliant precision, and such unimaginable and far-flung creativity. those of the church, whatever the type of church, tend to feel that there is no need to prove that the Creator exists because it is obvious that something made all that there is and something stands behind those creations that he has made. That something is defined over and over and over again through countless millennia, thousands of approaches to religion, and hundreds of basic approaches that various religion and sects share. But the fundamental tenet of those who focus on religion as a way to learn the ways of the infinite Creator is faith. It is by faith in religion that the keys are turned in the locks of wisdom and the doors swing open to offer realizations and insight. All of these words only rap at the door of the deeper truth, which is that the objective referent of the one infinite Creator is yourself. What do you know about yourself? You know your desires and the strength of your desires. You know that one thing has led to another in your life in a path that has seemed anything but straight. And yet as you gaze back over your life experience, you see how everything fell as it did in order to bring you to this present immaculate moment of now. What would you say if we asked you who you are? What is the I of you? This is the third key. One ancient name of the Creator is the Hebrew I Am. It is variously interpreted as I am that I am, or I am becoming what I am, or simply I am, I am. And so each of you is an I am. Naturally, you have been taught to ignore such ways of thinking. You have been taught precisely who you are. You have been told that who you are depends on your age, your sex, your station in life, your accomplishments, the roots of heredity, which brought you into this life, and so forth. You are endlessly defined by those who do not know you. Even your parents, who would know you more than anyone else, perhaps, tend to fail to grasp the heart of who you are because they are so close to the outer aspects of who you are as they raise you and help you to move out into the world as they understand it. And yet, the whole time, you are also existing in a very profound space of I am. And this space is held in common with all things. Yet, in the flesh that you have taken on for this incarnation, you are able to embody that mystery and that paradox that is the one infinite creator. We ask that you practice, perhaps daily for a while, an exercise that the one known as Ra has given through this instrument before. We ask that you look into the mirror at yourself. Gaze into your eyes, not seeing the color and luminosity of your eyes or the face around those eyes, but we ask you to gaze into that blackness at the heart of the eye, which is letting the light in to the internal workings of your physical body. It is through that aperture that your soul shines out. Perhaps you have known people whose gaze instantly made you glad and happy because of the quality of love in their gaze. The Creator shines forth from your eyes when you allow all of the tensions and the worries of the day to fade away, so that you become empty of all the detritus of a human life. Empty your pockets, my friends. Take out the concerns. No matter how cogent and intelligent those concerns are, for now, for the purpose of seeking the heart of the Creator, let the concerns of this day fade away. And open your mind to that level of things where that thing which is important today shall still be important 10,000 years from now. This takes you immediately to consciousness. You might call it the mind of the heart. For indeed, within the human energy body, the seat of consciousness and the intelligence and insight of consciousness is the inner heart. A great deal can conspire to keep you from knowing and feeling and living within your own sacred heart. Therefore, the seeker may need to restructure his day in such a way as to make time for that reckoning with the deeper self that brings an entity on the surface of things down into the regions of truth, beauty, virtue, and all of those values that shall be worthy 10,000 years ago, 10,000 years in the future, and in this very moment as well. It is not that you must cut things out of your life in order to do spiritual seeking. It is, rather, that you invite that which is not your intellect, but that which is consciousness, to take its proper place as the other resource that is pulling in the chariot of your seeking. You do not have to depend on your intellect alone, nor do you have to abandon your intellect and depend upon faith and consciousness alone. Rather, the two are yoked together, just as your spirit is yoked to your body for the duration of this incarnation. There's a purpose for your being here now. Indeed, you have created the lifetime which you are enjoying in terms of choosing the relationships that shall be important to you within this incarnation, choosing that cluster of gifts and skills that you have brought with you to share with the world on the outer or manifested level within this incarnation. And you have chosen those blindnesses, seeming faults, and ways of being uncomfortable that shall offer you catalyst so that in this valley of the shadow of death that your short life is, you may make straight in that desert a highway for the Creator. Each time that you encounter a tangled pattern that calls out to you to be solved, remember that this is grist for the mill. This discomfort and suffering is valuable. For in the fiery furnace of this suffering, this very situation that seems so difficult shall shake you and break you open so that the gems hidden within the ore of your personality may be harvested, and you may suddenly, for the first time, see a jewel-like and utterly beautiful aspect of your consciousness that you never knew was there. It is only through this catalytic action, this shaking and stirring of the self, that you are able to see more clearly the choices that lie before you. When you seek the one infinite creator, we ask you to remember that you have entered the precincts of mystery and paradox. All things are one, yet every single being is different. Even every snowflake is different. That is the kind of paradox that lets you know that you are on the track of the one infinite creator. Do not be satisfied with the easy answers and the seamless arrangements of thought that go into some religious, spiritual, and philosophical edifices of thought. For these are those edifices of the mind and the intellect. they shall not bring you to the Infinite One. They shall only make you very good at moving symbols around in your mind so that you feel that you have thought upon the divine. Instead, we ask you, if you wish to know the one infinite creator, to invite that creator into your life this moment. Ask, and you shall receive. Can you bear the brightness of the face of the one creator? We believe you can. And in that faceless face that exists and does not exist, in that place of mystery and paradox, shall you find opening before you a pleasant land indeed, a land in which you feel that creatorship within you. Another suggestion we might make to the seeker who is working on this deep question is to move from an assumption that is chosen irrespective of its obvious truth, as the one known as Gary said, he acts as if he were seeking the Infinite One. We would ask him to take it a step further. We would ask him to act as if he were the Creator. He has created everything in creation. We correct this instrument. You have created everything that there is in your creation. You have named every feeling, every object, and every point of view as you choose. Experiment. Then, my brother, with acting as though your thoughts had the power of creatorship. This is not a great stretch, for indeed, this is true. You are the creator of your universe, and your thoughts have the power to adhere to life as you know it. Therefore, we ask you, what shall you create this day with your thoughts? What kind of creation have you created? What environment for spirit have you provided for yourself? When you speak, are you aware that that which you judge is judged and found wanting, and that which you approve is acceptable? We ask you to move from this point of exquisite accountability at the end of each day as you assess your thoughts. See what you think you have created this day in terms of a world in which to live, move, and have your being. Have you created an affectionate, compassionate, sweet world in which your soul may bloom? Or have you brought down the blight of intolerance, prejudice, the acceptance of injustice, and lack of love? Have you been at war this day within yourself or with another? What are your thoughts this day? For you are the creator, and that which you create within yourself is outpictured into the world. As we understand the Creator, my brother, there is no entity or image which is the object of your seeking. Rather, as all things are vibration and constantly in motion, you seek the totality of vibration and motion. And as you become accustomed to this acceptance of the illusion of that which is solid and the reality of that which vibrates and moves endlessly, as does light, you become truly aware for the first time of the unified and integrated nature of all that there is. And you can at last see that the object of your search lies deep within you, not only deep within some part of your body or your mind or your spirit, but within every cell of your body, within every cell and iota of your mind, and within every speck of that shuttle, which is consciousness in motion, the spirit of the living creator. This livingness of the creator is that livingness of you and all of those around you, all creators, all mirrors of the sacred for you, that you may see the Creator in everyone, in every bush and tree, in all of the elements, in all of nature, and most of all, within yourself. We are those of Ukuo and would ask if there is a follow-up to this query.
No.
We are those of Ukuo and would ask then if there is another query at this time.
I had a question, Cole. Could you comment on the similarity between a religion called in our culture Christian Scientology and the concepts in Law of One? Because one of the readers asked if there are similarities and if the Scientology is picking up on the same principles that Ra described in speaking of the Law of One.
We are those at Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. We would compare then three ways of thought, the Confederation way of thought, the Christian Science way of thought, and Scientology's way of thought. The structure of that which is called Christian Science or the Church of Christ Scientist has a very harmonious connection to the Law of One, in that it sees clearly that all things are illusory except for faith and will and the unity of all that there is. Certainly, there's much baggage that comes with any world religion, shall we say. Yet, there are aspects of that way of thought that are profoundly united with the basic concept of the Law of One, which is the unity of all things and the transparency of all things to the will of each individual who holds the Godhead principle within his consciousness. The system of Scientology has not the core principles in common with the Law of One, but rather various ways of dealing with the world around one, especially in the attempt to lift oneself away from the heavy energy of unforgiven situations and thoughts in the past during the incarnative period. That is, Scientology and the Confederation philosophy alike suggest that it is possible to release pain and to alleviate suffering by digging through the ore of the human personality until those nuggets of pain that have created patterns of suffering in the incarnation are unearthed. When those nuggets of poor ore are seen in the light of day, and by that we mean the light of insight, forgiveness, and understanding, it may be seen that the suffering is not necessary, that it is a trouble bubble, and it needs only to be popped, released, and forgotten. This kind of clarity is helpful to the spiritual seeker, and it is this basic tenor and vector of thought which is most congruent with the Law of One philosophy. May we answer your query in any further way, my brother? We are those of Gul.
I will extrapolate because I am not familiar with Scientology myself, but you have mentioned that the core principles in Law of One are not the same for the Scientology. Aren't those core principles the principle of free will, of intelligent infinity and love, light?
We are those of Gul, and my brother, we would add to those qualities unity and say that that is completely correct. Is there a further query? We are those of Gul.
No, not on the subject, and thank you for speaking to it, Gul.
We are those of Gul, and we thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
I have a question from T.E. Burt. Quo, can you confirm the accuracy of the following conclusions? In about 6,000 to 4,500 BCE in Eastern Europe, an agrarian societal population lived in unwalled towns of respectable size, appeared to have a female deity, focused on crops and husbandry, had no weapons of war, and was matriarchal due to a woman's ability to give birth.
We are those of Gul. And my brother, we would agree, not on the date, but on the fact that there have been several agrarian cultures Now, there have been several agrarian cultures that flourished for a time, beginning with what your people call Lemuria, and moving into Europe as well as South America and Africa. The most recent of those cultures has remnants of thought that are still active within your culture, and that is the society of Celtic beings who were matriarchal in nature and who saw the principle of Godhead as being feminine. Indeed, you will find on old churches to this day in parts of the British Isles, especially Ireland, the symbol of the yoni, or the vagina, and the open legs over the church doors, combining the energy of Christianity with the energy of seemingly pagan celebrations of fertility. And we would note that it is this feminine principle that is so often missing and is so hungered for in your culture at this time. Rather than embracing the power of the feminine principle that can nurture and create life in her womb and bring it forth in affection and joy, the proponents of the One God and Chosen People religions, which include Christianity, the Jewish religion, and Islam, among others, have tended to demean and denigrate women, deny them not only their spirituality, but their worth as human beings, and have consigned them to be second-class citizens. We might note that in our humble opinion, there is a tremendous amount of fear behind that urge of the male to suppress and control the feminine principle. Indeed, the opposite needs to occur in terms of your globes being able to spin itself out of the endless cycles of war and aggression that the unbridled sway of male energy has created within your earth world. Is there another query at this time? We are those of Kuul. We are those of Kuul and find that we have apparently exhausted the queries at this session of work. We thank each of you for taking the time and the space in your incredibly busy lives to seek the truth. And we thank you for asking us to be part of that search and that seeking. Certainly you teach us every time that we come to your circle. We thank you for that which you have taught us. And we humbly hope that we may have offered you some thoughts that may prove fruitful in your own process of seeking the truth, which is ever and always the same. All is one. You are all that there is, including the one infinite creator. You can fold your tents. You can fold up your life. But you cannot fold up the power and the peace that you carry in your consciousness and in your life. You can stretch your life out to the heavens and to hell. And yet you cannot compass the power and the peace of the one Creator that lies within you. We wish you a good journey. The trip to the center is a trip of great beauty. And upon that trip, you are never alone. For entities such as we wait to be asked to partner with you and to lend you our affection and our support. Ask, and we shall be there. Not with words, but with our love. And with that information that goes too deep for words. We are those of the principle known to you as Mkul. We leave you in the love, the light, the peace, and the power of the one infinite Creator, Adonai. Adonai. As we let the light that we have gathered in the circle of seeking go back to the one infinite Creator, let us place in that light all of our dreams, our hopes, and our prayers for healing. And our thanks for all blessings received. The image goes up. Let the reins fall down. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. You united people, we are one. You united people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one.